But I've been reading through Kaulbach Church Dogmatics, and I'm reading the section where he is talking about creation, and particularly he is dealing with the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And in that sixth commandment, he is talking about life, and he says that this commandment was given so that, first of all, life comes from God, and therefore no human being has any right to take away life from anyone. And then he talks about three different things pertaining to the fact that we do not have life in our hands, and the reason why God created us, and the reason why he gave this commandment, thou shalt not kill. He talks about respect for life. He talks about the protection of life. And then he talks about the active life based on the sixth commandment. And with respect to the active life, he asked the question, how, as God's creatures, ought we to be active? How should we be active? And then he introduces this question, or the answer to this question, by saying that we ought to be active by working. Working. But then he further talks about how we actually ought to work. What is the specific way in which we ought to work as God's creatures? And then he answered by saying that the work that we should do is the service of God. And that's why we were actually created, to serve God. And I agree with him. Yes, we ought to work in our secular duties, but that also encompasses service to God, so that everything that we do must be summed up in this one word, that we serve a living God who created us. And so in our text this morning, we want to look at one great example of someone who, in a moment in time, demonstrates what it really means for us as God's creatures to live. What is the purpose for which God created us? And so we find this story in Matthew chapter 26, the anointing of Jesus by Mary, Mary of Bethany. Matthew chapter 26. Now, this story is also recorded in the Gospel of John, John chapter 12. And John tells us that it was actually 6 days before the Passover that this event happened. Now, of course, Matthew and the other gospel writers do not necessarily present the gospel in chronological order. But John tells us in John chapter 12 that it was 6 days before the Passover. So it would be 6 days before Good Friday that this event occurs. So here is the story. Let's read it first, and then we'll see what lessons we can learn from Mary's act of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in chapter 26, verses 6 to 13, now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? for she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. This is the word of the Lord. So the occasion of this incident is at a dinner in a house. Jesus was invited by Simon, it seems, to a dinner, maybe in gratitude for what Jesus had done for him. He's called Simon the leper in John chapter 12. Maybe he was a leper and Jesus healed him, but he continued to be called Simon the leper. The name stayed with him. And so Jesus Christ was in that place having a supper with, I guess his disciples were there with him, and there was a woman, which is very unusual, because it was unusual for women to congregate with men in those days. And so the city that we're, the little town that where Jesus is called Bethany. And we know from John chapter 11, that's the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So apparently Jesus, after raising Lazarus from the dead, he came back to Bethany, and it seemed as if this party was thrown for him in gratitude for what he has done, maybe in the raising of Lazarus and the healing of Simon the leper. But we are told that while he was there, reclining at the table, there was a woman. A woman. We are not told what her name is, but John again tells us what her name is, and that her name is Mary, in John chapter 12. In verse 3, we're told Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume. Now, the name Mary is very common in the Bible, and it was very common in the days of Jesus for parents to name their children Mary. When you search the New Testament, you will find at least five or more. And I'm being very, very stingy here. I'm sure there are much more than five Marys in the New Testament. But we are not told exactly which Mary is this. There are some who believe that this is Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. But we are not told specifically which Mary it is. But nevertheless, it seemed as if Jesus Christ had done something wonderful for her, and she wanted to express her deep gratitude towards him. And so we are told in verse 7 of Matthew 26 that a woman came to him with an alabaster vial, and in that vial it contained very costly perfume. Very costly perfume. And while she was there, we don't know whether she was invited or whether she found herself there, but nevertheless she was there. And she came particularly with this costly perfume to do something special. This is not an accident. It was not something that she thought of haphazardly. She must have planned for it. This is not second thought for this woman. She came prepared to do something for Jesus. In fact, this would be the last great service that was done to Jesus before he goes to the cross. This is the last act of sacrificial service That is done to the Lord Jesus Christ before he goes to the cross. And we're told that she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. John gives us more information. You know, Matthew just tells us that, you know, she came with this alabaster vial, a very costly perfume, and poured it on his head. John tells us in John chapter 12 that Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So you could imagine the aroma in the room at this time with this very expensive perfume. Maybe if it was today, it would have been Prada or Gucci or some expensive perfume. I love cologne. I like to smell good. And Mary came and she opened this vial of perfume and it pervaded the room. I would have loved to be there to smell this sweet fragrance. And so she was doing something great, something good for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to notice the response, first of all, of the disciples. Notice their response. They had a critical spirit. They were very indignant. Notice their indignation, we're told in verse 8, Matthew 26. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this. They were angry. They were angry, Matthew tells us, because they thought she was doing something wasteful. She was wasting her money. She was wasting her time. And so they asked the question, why this waste? Why this waste? And so they had a different idea as to what Mary could have done with her perfume instead of wasting it on Jesus. They said in verse 9, for this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. Now, notice exactly what these men are thinking. Notice that they wanted to do a great deed for Christ. They wanted to do great deeds. They wanted to sell the perfume and give to the poor. And that's a laudable thing to do. That's a great deed to do. However, at this particular point, what Mary did was much more important than what they were thinking of doing with the money that would be gathered from selling that perfume. And so Jesus said to them, notice in verse 10, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. So they wanted to do something great, but Mary did something good. They were indignant. They were critical. They developed a critical spirit towards Mary. And they were also insensitive to Jesus. They were very insensitive. They did not see Mary's humility. They missed her expression, here it is, of love and devotion. They were insensitive to Jesus Christ, to see how he was moved with this amazing display of love. They could not see that in pouring out this perfume, Mary was actually pouring out her heart of love. The perfume was just symbolic of what was in her heart. What was in her heart? And they missed it. They were thinking of doing something great. But Mary was thinking of doing something good. We're told in verse 11, Jesus says, "For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That's a powerful statement, because there are other places where Jesus says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But what he's saying here is that he will not always be with them in person for them to show and demonstrate expressions of love towards him. And so we ought to make use of the opportunities that we are given by the Lord, because oftentimes or sometimes we would not have the privilege and the opportunity to minister to Jesus Christ. And so he says, "For the poor, you will always have with you." You know, years ago when I just started to read the scriptures and I came upon this verse, I asked myself, why would Jesus ever say the poor you will always have with you? If he is God and a God who loves us, why would he make such a statement that you will always have the poor with you? Why wouldn't he want to have everyone become rich and wealthy? And then I realized that Jesus Christ did not come to make people rich. And in fact, in this world, there will be poverty. There will be poor people, unfortunately. But the reason why Jesus says this is that you will always have the poor with you. In other words, you will always have opportunities to do great things. And I think that's very important, because the poor people in our midst, the poor in our society, are there so that those who have wealth can actually minister to them. The poor in our society, the poor in our midst, should not be seen as people whom should be cast aside, but they are there so that those who have possessions and wealth can minister to them. And I think that's one of the reasons why God allows poor people to exist in society, so that the rich can help minister to them. We can even take this further and say that God allows us sometimes to get sick so that others could minister to us. God sometimes allows us to maybe get into depths of maybe situations where we cannot help ourselves so that others can get opportunities to minister. Just think about it. What if we all were wealthy? Then we would have no need for each other. We would become independent. But the fact that we all have needs, we may not have the need of poverty, but we all have different needs, so that we can minister to each other. Whether we are rich or poor, we all have different needs. And that's the reason why the church is the body of Christ, so that we can help each other. But let's get back to our story. Jesus said to his disciples in verse 12, "For when she poured out this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." You see what Mary was thinking of? Mary's focus is on the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and burial. That is what actually moved her to offer up this act of devotion to her Savior. Not like the disciples. In fact, I want you to notice, before this event, in verses 1 to 5, notice what Jesus said. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." So Matthew says 2 days before Passover, so most likely he's thinking of maybe this happened on a Wednesday. Not sure. But verse 3 says, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, 'Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people.'" So the disciples were very much aware that Jesus Christ was on the threshold of being killed by the religious leaders. But it meant nothing to them. Mary, on the other hand, she was very conscious of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that moved her to offer up this act of devotion to her Savior. And then Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Now, Jesus is not saying that wherever this gospel is preached, that whenever we preach the gospel, we should mention Mary's act of devotion. What he's saying here is that wherever the gospel is preached, there ought to be a response of gratitude for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Mary did. She expresses her gratitude for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And whenever the gospel is preached, we must respond with gratitude. So, I want to offer up 3 things pertaining to Mary's devotion, 3 principles that we find here pertaining to Mary's devotion to Jesus Christ that we can learn from as God's people. First of all, notice that Mary's act of devotion produces total commitment. It was an all-out act of devotion. Where did we find this? Well, notice, we're told that her perfume was costly. It was very expensive. Very expensive. In fact, it was about a year's wage. So think about it. If you make $100,000 a year, that's the amount equivalent, or $21,000, that's how much it actually was back in the day of Jesus. But the point is that she gave the equivalent to 1 year's wage. That's the cost of this perfume here, $21,000 in today's terms. Maybe she had saved it all her life. We don't know. We don't know. But the point is that it was a total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told that the house was filled with the odor of her perfume and the whole world with the odor of her love. The whole house was filled with the odor of a perfume, But the whole world is now filled with the odor of her love and devotion to her master. It was appropriate. Jesus commended it, and he rebuked her detractors. And so in the same way, our devotion to Jesus Christ must be a total commitment. It must be total commitment. The Bible says that we should love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, all our strength. God does not want us to give him half. He does not want us to come to him half-heartedly, but he wants us to put everything into what we give to him. We should not withhold from him. We should be totally committed in our devotion to our master. We should not be afraid to give up all that we are and all that we have, even if it comes to martyrdom, even if it comes to, may I say this, following the protocols of the government and close the church for a while and follow the laws of the land. When we do that, we are actually serving Jesus Christ. We're committed to him in that way. When the government says that we should lock down because of the virus, and we close, it means that we love one another, that we don't want to spread the disease to each other. And to me, that's total commitment to God. It's not wrong to do that, because that's an expression of love to our brothers and sisters, and it's also an expression of love to God. And so for me personally, one of the most terrible things that I have seen through this pandemic is churches that have kept their doors open in total disobedience to the law of the land. This to me is an abomination in the eyes of our God. And it's not an example of what true love is. And every Christian who have fallen and follow leaders who have opened the churches have done a disservice to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether during the pandemic churches that have opened have exploded. You know, maybe they were filled with people. Maybe they have been given more finances, maybe more ministries. It matters not. It's a disgrace to me in the eyes of God. That's not commitment to Jesus Christ. Secondly, Mary's devotion is, here it is, one that produced contempt for the world's disapproval and disregard of its mockery. A devotion that produces contempt for the world's disapproval and disregard of its mockery. Why do I see that? Well, in John we read, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now tell me something. Which woman would, do you know, I'm speaking to the guys here now. Do you know any, would your wife allow you to put your hand in her hair? Maybe yes, maybe not. But I do know that most women would not even allow that to happen. That's their crown, as it were, the crown of gold. And think about it, in the day of Jesus Christ, women were not allowed to be allowed to socialize with men. But here is Mary. She's not only there in the midst of 12 plus other men, but she's there as the only woman. She unloosed her hair and she wiped the feet of Jesus Christ. That is total unashamedness. She was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone tell us that Jesus Christ was one who kept, or the Bible keeps women down. Jesus Christ actually came to free up everyone, including women. And so Mary's devotion here was an act of contempt for the world's disapproval. She did not care what the disciples say. And she did not care whether they mocked her. And in the same way as God's children, as we are devoted to him, as we are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not be ashamed of what the world says about us. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Jesus also said that if you are ashamed of me in this life, then he will be ashamed of you also. And so as God's children, our faith should be in some ways radical, not radical in the sense of destroying things, but it should be one that not seek approval from the world. We should not seek approval from the world in serving Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed of him. Thirdly, a devotion that led her to the feet of the Master. She was at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. An hour of devotion to Christ is more precious than hours of service that is not prompted by love. So the disciples wanted to sell, they prefer the woman would sell that perfume and, you know, give it to the poor. But there was no love there. Mary, on the other hand, really demonstrated, she poured out her heart of love to the Master. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to sit at his feet. That's the way we express, one of the ways we express our love to him. And what shall be remembered? Her act of service. Her act of service. Notice in verse 9, that's what Jesus says. Matthew 26, verse 9. "For this perfume might have been sold for a high price, and the money be given to the poor." Then Jesus says in verse 12, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." That is what will be remembered. Her depth of love. Not so much the pouring out of the perfume, but is what is behind the pouring out. And that is her act of love. The depth of her love. And lastly, Mary's devotion is one that sprung out of the wonder of Calvary. It sprung out of the wonder of Calvary, and it also focuses on the wonder of Calvary. That's what Jesus says in verse 8. Sorry, not verse 8, but verse 12. "For when she poured out this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." Her devotion focused on the wonder of Calvary. And so in contrast to the disciples' oblivious attitude to the death of Jesus Christ, Mary's attitude is that of wonder and devotion. Jesus Christ will soon face death, But Mary showed him unfailing love. Not to the living Savior, but to the dying Lord. She showed that devotion of love. You see, the disciples were focusing on a cause. But the gospel is not so much about a cause. The gospel is about a person. One of the problems in the church today is that there are so many people who are focusing on different causes, neglecting the fact that it is all about Jesus Christ. The gospel is not about promoting some, Jesus Christ didn't come here to set up a movement. And so the church is not all about promoting a certain cause or causes. The church is about promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when the church focuses on different causes, it tends to cause a lot of problems, even in the world. Think about, you know, the evangelical movement in the United States. It has become more a political movement than the movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ didn't come here to support conservatives or liberals or independents. This is not what the gospel is about. Christianity is not about whether one is a liberal or conservative or independent. The gospel is about a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, there are many who have placed politics over the person to their detriment. And so our devotion must be to our Savior. Let me just read this hymn as we come to a close. It's a hymn that is written by Elizabeth Prentice, More Love to Thee. More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee. More love to Thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee. Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are Thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper Thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee, more love to Thee. It is not the promise of great deeds that Christ looked for, but the love of our heart. Father, we thank You. We pray that by Your grace, You would help us to love You with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.